Well, today's Christmas Eve, which means tonight is the night before Christmas. And so maybe you're not this way anymore, but I remember as a kid laying in bed the night before Christmas and feeling all kinds of emotions and feelings, right?
The anticipation of Christmas morning, the anticipation of going out for us into the living room and seeing things that weren't there the night before. As a kid, I remember the way we did it, and everybody I know does it a little bit differently, is we'd all wake up, we'd go to my older brother's room, we'd wait for our dad to give us the signal to check to see if someone had come in the middle of the night, and then he'd give us, we'd maybe hear a ho, 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 and then we'd all, that would be our signal to come downstairs, and it would be, at our home, Santa didn't wrap the gifts, and so they'd be all laid out there for us in birth order, right? So my oldest brother's gifts would be first, and then mine, and then my younger brother's. And we'd see all these gifts, and it was awesome. It was exciting, right? Everything that we were anticipating the night before, seeing it come play out that morning was really exciting. Maybe you feel different feelings and emotions when you think about Christmas morning. And so to illustrate some of this, I've got these memes. Some of you know what memes are, some of you don't. It's okay. They're pretty self-explanatory. If you're on Facebook, you probably know what a meme is. And so let me give you some of these that I think express some of the feelings and emotions we feel on Christmas morning. All right, so if you finish your Christmas shopping before Christmas Eve, yeah, sense of accomplishment. You feel good, a fist pump for that. All right, next one. This is the feeling you have when your kids want to change their whole Christmas list the day before Christmas. He's rolling his eyes there. That's how we've all felt, I think. Here's the next one. Here's an idea, right? And most of the children are gone, but you can wrap empty boxes, put them under the tree, and every time your child acts up, you throw one in the fireplace. Only we had a fireplace for that in Mobile. The next one. This sounds like a dad thing to do, but I'll tell you what I got you for Christmas. I got you a roof over your head. You're welcome, right? I don't know if your parents did that or not. I'm thinking about it. And then maybe if you're a parent, this is what you feel like in the morning, if you've been assembling stuff or whatever, you need coffee, right? More coffee. I think of Tony Kendall at some point when I see this picture, but you need more coffee. And then the final picture, I think, is this is the feeling I think most people have, right? As they're going to bed the night before, you're so excited. You can't wait. And you're feeling all these emotions. And for a good reason, because it is exciting. It is super fun, right? The anticipation of Christmas morning. But for me, when I was a kid especially, and my kids are this way now, it's not just waking up Christmas morning. It's not just seeing what Santa had brought or what other people have brought you. It's not just opening those up and feeling the joy of that. But after you've done that, what's next? It's the joy of telling people, right? Family comes over, you go over to family's house. In my house, it felt like every Christmas was this way. We'd get all of our stuff and it'd be like, all right, guys, in 15 minutes, we're going to this person's house. Play with it, you know, for the next 10 minutes, and then you got to get changed and get dressed. Maybe y'all's was that way, I don't know. But you play with your stuff, you get your stuff, and then there's the joy of telling people what you got. As a kid, especially, this is the case. You want people to know what you've received. This past Saturday, I was meeting my parents kind of halfway between here and Searcy, and we were going to drop Ethan off so Ethan could spend a week with them during Christmas break. And I took the other two. I took Houston and Emma Jane with us, but they weren't getting to stay. And so we knew this could potentially be a problem of meeting my parents and then them leaving with Ethan and them coming back with me. And so my mom, who's great at this kind of stuff, she brought each of them a gift. And so they opened it up, and it was like a Frozen toy. And Houston was really excited about it. He got a little Olaf character. So on the way back, we're driving, and there's this restaurant in Jackson that I always have to stop at if it's near a mealtime, or even if it's not. It's called Fuddruckers. And so I always go to Fuddruckers, and we go inside, and we go to order our food, and there's other people in there. Well, Houston has carried his toy inside, and literally every person he walks by, he's like, I got a snowman. And he's like waving at people, and he's like, I got a snowman. I got a snowman. I'm like, okay, they see that you got a snowman. Like, and then as we're leaving, he's telling the same people, I got a snowman. He wants them to know that he got a snowman. Why is he doing that? He's excited to tell people. He'll tell complete strangers that he got this toy. He got this gift. And he's excited about this gift. Do we still do that when we receive gifts? Do we tell people? Are we excited to tell people about the things that we received? If we are, you know, we might not tell strangers. Maybe we post something on Facebook, right? And I don't know what changes or why it changes. Partly because as we get older, Christmas becomes less about us getting stuff and more about children getting things, right? But anytime we get any gift, are we excited to tell people about the gift? What changes from where we're a little kid and we get something and we will tell complete strangers in a restaurant? We'll tell people as we're going through the drive-thru. We'll tell anybody we see. What changes where we go from that to not sharing the excitement of something that we've received? I think it's important that when you are given something great, that you want to tell people about it. That should be the way that it is. When you're given something great, you want to tell people about what you've received. It just makes sense that little kids would want to tell everyone what they got for Christmas. But for some reason, as adults, we've lost some of that. I mean, I don't know about you, but do you start conversations with people by telling people what gifts you receive? Probably not. Would you go out of your way to tell strangers who didn't even ask what someone else did for you? Most probably not, but why? Is it that as we get older, we aren't as excited about these gifts? Like, do we not get that sense of anticipation? Are we not excited about the things that we received? Or is it that the gifts don't mean much to us? Or maybe there's some other issue. Maybe there's some disconnect somewhere. I think when it comes to the story of Christmas, when it comes to the story of Jesus coming to earth and the gift that is Jesus coming to earth, that story didn't stop when the shepherds got to the manger. The story of Christmas and Jesus coming to earth doesn't stop when the wise men made their way to Bethlehem. They were excited to come and see what God had done. But after they had seen the gift that God had given, after they had experienced God's gift, they were excited to tell everyone who hadn't seen or experienced it yet. And so for the next few minutes this morning, I want to look at two responses that the shepherds, the wise men, had to Jesus coming to earth and see how their responses should be our responses to the gift of Jesus as well. So the first response to Jesus coming to earth should be, come and see. Come and see. This was the response that the shepherds had the minute that the angels left them. The angels come to them and they tell them this great news, and their response is they have to go and see. They have to come and see what God has done. Luke chapter 2, verse 15 through 16 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Okay? They were excited about it. They wanted to go and to see about this thing that they had heard about. They wanted to see the gift that God had given them. It's the same response. The shepherds had the same response that the wise men had as soon as they saw the star. In Matthew chapter 2, it says, we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were excited. This is an awesome gift that they had seen. They realized this is an amazing thing. When they had heard what God had done, when they had heard that God had sent his son, they had to see it and experience it for themselves. God had given them exactly what they needed, even though they didn't know it. I don't have a slide for this, but if you want to, flip in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And the shepherds and the angels, and they have this encounter. If you go to verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This good news of great joy of Jesus, this gift of Jesus, isn't just for certain people, isn't just for special elect group of people. Who's it for? It's for everybody. This is a gift for everyone. And the angels add emphasis to this. They say in verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Talking to these shepherds. Shepherds weren't people of elite status. They weren't people that would have been high on the pecking order of social status. These are kind of the low people, the shepherds. But yet the angel decides to come to them to announce the coming of Jesus. And in addition to that, says that this gift, this good news of great joy, is for everyone. And specifically, this Savior has been born to you. And the same is true for us. This gift of the Savior, this gift of Jesus, has been given to you. God made it clear to them, of all people, and they were excited to see what God had done for them. And so their response is, they dropped everything to come and see. I don't know what this looks like for the shepherds and the wise men. They were probably in the middle of something. But they dropped everything. They left that to come and see what God had done. God's call to them to come and see, I believe, is the same call that he has for each of us. Come and see what I've done for you and what I can do for you. That's the call that God makes for us about Jesus. Come and see what God has done for you. In the Psalms, King David encourages us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Find out about it. Investigate about it. Come, see what God has done for you. Jesus himself encouraged people to see for themselves what a relationship with him was like when he says in Matthew 11, 28 through 29, says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's this invitation to come and see, come and experience this gift that God has given. See, Jesus knew that once people experienced the love and forgiveness that's only available in him, that they would be forever changed for the better. And I think God also knew that once they had been changed by his love and grace, once you've seen and experienced for yourself what God has done through the gift of his son, that you won't be able to keep it to yourself. Once you've experienced forgiveness and the soul-changing, life-changing moment when you come into contact with the blood of Christ, once you've experienced that gift, once you've met Christ, you can't keep that to yourself. Once you've come and saw what Jesus can do for you, something changes. And that's why the second response to the gift of Jesus, the first response is to come and see. The second response should be, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. Telling others, I believe, is a natural response when something wonderful happens to you. Maybe as a kid, it's when you get a gift and you just want to tell people, maybe complete strangers, this gift you've received. But maybe it's not a gift. Maybe it's just something good. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's some exciting news that's happened, something that your child has done, and so you want to tell that. Anytime something exciting has happened, we want to share that. It's natural to tell people. The wise men, they were so excited to tell everyone what they had seen and what God had done that God actually has to intervene and tell them not to say anything until they're out of the country. But immediately after they'd seen Jesus, the shepherds in their version, in their story, they started telling anyone and everyone that they came into contact with what God had done for them. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17 through 20, Luke writes this, when they had seen him, they spread the word. When they had seen him talking about Jesus, when they saw the gift of Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned. They glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2, 17 through 20. So they couldn't help themselves. They had to tell people. They were overjoyed. They had to tell people what God had done for them. We see this in other places in scripture in relation to Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus heals a man. And after the man asks what he should do, Jesus replies in verse 39, he says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. This should be our natural response. When we've come and we've seen what Jesus can do for us, our response should be to go and tell people about what he has done for us. And then nearly 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, the psalmist urged the people of God to tell others what he had done for them. He writes in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. That includes us. Tell what God has done for us. Once God has shown up in our life, once we've seen the gift of Jesus, once God has made a difference in your life, you tell people about it. That's what we're supposed to do. We tell people about it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter writes, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but with gentleness and respect. So for us, because Jesus came, our hope is real. And when Jesus comes again, our hope will be fully revealed. Now, in some ways, sharing the story of why you're a Christian is pretty simple in some ways. The go and tell part could come pretty naturally. You were there when it happened, obviously. So it's not like you're trying to remember something that's abstract or theoretical. In fact, it's, in some ways, it's no more complex than telling someone about a movie that you saw recently. But on the other hand, if we have not thought through how we will tell our story of what God has done for us, it can be a little intimidating because of how important it is. We feel the pressure of, wow, this message of Jesus, this good news of great joy, I don't know how to articulate this. And so the good news, though, is that we can learn to tell our story better if we have a little bit of preparation. If we spend some time thinking about the ways that God has worked in our lives. If we spend some time thinking about what God has done for us. One reason for our hope in Jesus is what he has done for your life. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, he says that you need to prepare for possible opportunities to speak about him. So for us, in order to be effective in the going and telling, we need to be able to articulate how we were found. In order to be able to be effective in reaching the lost, we need to be able to talk about how we're found. And so it's important to understand how that happened, to really spend some time thinking about God's awesome gift of Jesus, because that's what it is. It's a gift. This grace that he's given us, this Jesus who's come to earth, who lived a life, who died for our sins, it's a gift that we don't deserve. Because of our sin, we do deserve something. We deserve death. We deserve this physical separation between the body and the spirit, but it's also this spiritual separation between us and God. But this gift that God offers us, this gift of grace, is something undeserved, something that we can respond to in faith. And for us, though, we need to understand that we cannot tell someone, we can't go and tell what Jesus can do for them until we know what he's done for us. We have to know what God has done for us. We have to spend some time thinking about that. If you think about it, these responses of come and see and go and tell are really demonstrative of the entire gospel narrative. Both Matthew and Luke begin their gospels by God inviting people, whether it's the shepherds or the wise men, God invites these people to come to Bethlehem and see what he has done. See Jesus who has come to earth. And then the gospels end, right? So that's the beginning of the gospels. The gospels end with Jesus's command for his father's for his followers to go and to tell. That's how the gospels work, right? It begins with come and see, and it ends with go and tell. Sometimes, and maybe I'll experience, have you ever gotten a gift, though, that you, like most times gifts are exciting. Have you ever gotten a gift you didn't want? Has that ever happened to you before? Or a gift that you weren't excited about it? So maybe when you're a kid, it's you, you're really excited, you open it up, and what is the non-exciting gift? Sorry, grandparents, it's clothes, right? And you open it up and it's clothes, okay? And you're kind of like, all right, let me go. You smile and your parents work with you on this, like, okay, thank them, right? And then you try to find the next box that has a toy. Have you ever opened a gift and you weren't really excited about it? Or have you ever given a gift to somebody and you could tell by the way that they opened it that they were not excited about it? Like, usually people can play it off pretty well, but what's the response you get if somebody's not excited about your gift? Silence, right? They don't really say anything. I mean, you have to ask, like, what do you think? You like? And they don't really say very much. I remember this one family gathering we would do Dirty Santa, where you bring a gift and then you swap it. And this was like maybe in our first year of marriage. So I was probably far too old to have this response to a gift. But we played a game of Dirty Santa, and I made this terrible mistake, which has forever changed the way that I played Dirty Santa. So let me give you this tip. Don't ever go and open a new gift. Always steal, right? Because the unknown is so risky. Always steal. That's my advice to you on your Dirty Santa gifts. But I made the mistake. I went and I got a new gift and I opened it up and I was so disappointed. And here's what the gift was. I should have played it off better. It was an M&M dispenser, right? I was like 23 years old. Like, I don't want an M&M. What adult gives another adult an M&M dispenser? Maybe you asked for that. I'm sorry, right? And so I opened it up and it's this M&M dispenser. And I should have played it off better than I did. But I think I made the comment to Crystal a little too loudly. Well, I guess I'm taking this home. Nobody's stealing this from me, right? I was really not excited about that gift. And maybe I should have just been silent. Maybe I should have, you know, smiled and be like, I love M&Ms. They're great. I should have played it off better than I did. But we've felt that before, or we've gotten something we weren't excited about. Maybe we felt it before where we've given something that we're not excited about. And usually the response to that is we're silent. We're silent about that. When it comes to the gift that we've been given, the gift of Jesus. Are we responding with silence? Are we silent in response to the gift that God has given us with his Son? And by that I mean, are we not saying anything about it? Do we not tell people about it? The come and see, the go and tell, these are typical responses to Christmas, right? To gifts. But this one response of silence, like this can be a response as well. And it shouldn't be our response. We shouldn't be silent. We've been given the greatest gift of all in Jesus. And our response should not be one of remaining silent, but we should want to tell everyone. Maybe complete strangers in a restaurant, we'll tell them. Maybe it's not, I got a snowman, right? But maybe it's something else. Maybe it's telling them about something that's important. Okay, maybe it's not strangers in a restaurant. Maybe it's family members over the holiday. Maybe it's neighbors. Maybe it's people we go to school with or people we work with. We cannot remain silent when it comes to the gift of Jesus. We need to come and see, and we need to go and tell. So what is your response to Jesus going to be? Will you remain silent, or will you come and see and go and tell? If you've never experienced the love and forgiveness that Jesus was born to provide, would you come and see for yourself this morning? Would you come and see the love that Jesus provides? Maybe by responding to the invitation, maybe by asking for prayers, maybe by becoming a Christian for the very first time and accepting that amazing gift of grace that's found through Jesus coming to earth, through him living the life of a man, through him dying on the cross and being risen from the dead, and by being baptized, having the blood of Jesus wash away your sins, experiencing that gift. Would you come and see that this morning? There's no greater present that you could ever receive than a relationship with Jesus and the redemption that comes with it. And if you have experienced that gift of Jesus in your life, would you, like the shepherds, would you, like the wise men so long ago, would you go and tell others what God has done for you so that they too may find and worship the King who has come to earth? This morning, if you need something, if you need prayers, if you need forgiveness, won't you come now? Won't you come and see as together we stand and sing?